deployment. Appendix L. Security. Army forces are especially vulnerable during deployment. Potential adversaries will invariably focus on perceived weaknesses, creating the need for a comprehensive strategy for the protection of forces. Security is essential to operations and protecting geographically dispersed forces once they depart their installations. This appendix highlights those actions taken to prevent or mitigate hostile actions against DoD personnel, resources, and facilities during deployment operations. Pre-deployment. Security must occur at the home station on a consistent basis so units will be prepared to face the potential terrorism threat during deployment and redeployment. The deploying units are supported by numerous agencies in planning anti-terrorism measures, including movement planning, intelligence collection, threat assessment, security planning, anti-terrorist awareness training. Movement planning. Units prepare detailed movement SOPs to support unit movement planning. The SOP should define the roles and responsibilities of all unit personnel, from brigade to company level. The SOP should outline preparations for all modes of movement, air, rail, sea, and highway. Functions addressed in SOPs should include risk assessments, anti-terrorism and security measures, and other deployment activities. DA provides overall guidance on anti-terrorism, including the rules of engagement and desired standard of training. Intelligence collection. A deploying unit can obtain intelligence requirements from several sources. See FM20 and FM3-55 for more information. During pre-deployment, the deploying unit has access to installation and national intelligence sources. They also get an intelligence update on the theater to which they are deploying from the combatant command in the theater of operations. Threat assessment. Units conduct threat assessments to determine their own vulnerability before deployment. These assessments must be conducted sufficiently ahead of deployments to allow for the development of security procedures, acquisition of necessary materials, obtaining an updated intelligence estimate, coordination of necessary security augmentation forces, and to request necessary host nation support. Assessments must address rest areas, refueling locations, inclement weather considerations, to include natural disasters, and movement routes. The assessments should provide the commander a baseline to implement appropriate anti-terrorist measures to reduce and mitigate risk. Pre-deployment assessments must occur promptly and should be incorporated in pre-deployment planning and training. These assessments will assist commanders in updating theater-specific training and in obtaining necessary security materials and equipment to implement protective measures. These assessments identify weaknesses that may be exploited and suggest options that address those weaknesses. For example, a vulnerability assessment might reveal weaknesses in a seaport security systems, police force, computer networks, or unprotected key infrastructure, such as water supplies, bridges, and tunnels. Evaluate potential threats on the basis of factors such as capabilities, intentions, limitations, and past activities. These assessments represent a systematic approach to identifying potential threats before they materialize. However, even if updated frequently, threat assessments may not adequately capture all emerging threats. This is true when threat assessments are only based on higher-level regional assessments that do not focus on the individual rail, sea, or airport facilities. At the theater level, component commanders provide transiting forces with assessments of ports, airfields, and inland movement routes prior to their arrival. Transiting units may be required to augment component commanders with assessment personnel. This is normally accomplished with advanced party personnel communicating with the host nation intelligence agency or security force. They convey current local threat information to the transiting unit, enabling more effectively tailored protective measures to the specific threat environment. Security planning. Units use the results of the assessments to develop security plans for self-protection while in transit. Although emphasis must be on movements through high threat areas, commanders should not discount appropriate security measures for movements in lower threat areas. Movements through high threat areas require security plans be completed and approved by the next higher command, at a minimum, the battalion commander. Commanders must implement appropriate security measures to reduce risk and vulnerability. Advanced or onboard security augmentation should be considered for travel through high-threat areas. Equipment such as advanced surveillance cameras and monitors, explosive detection devices, and blast mitigation equipment can significantly enhance a transiting unit's posture against terrorist threats. Commanders and senior Army representatives accompanying the movement ensure that security measures sufficiently address vulnerabilities. Whenever security measures are taken to establish defense and protection, they are continually reviewed and progressively updated to counter the changing threat and add an element of unpredictability to the terrorist calculation. This responsibility cannot be ignored in any situation. Local security must be 24/7 to provide observation, early warning, and if necessary, live fire capability. Additionally, rest and recuperation facilities located within the operational level commander's area need close attention. These facilities are frequently vulnerable due to their location and easy access. Movements may require timely, relevant, accurate, and predictive intelligence and counterintelligence support, host nation assistance, or pre-planned alternate routes based on the vulnerabilities associated with the movement. Anti-terrorism awareness training. Units moving through high-threat areas ensure that personnel receive pre-deployment training on rules of engagement, use of force, theater threat orientation, defensive tactics, techniques, procedures, and security equipment. Judge advocates and brigade senior paralegal NCOs are available to assist in rules of engagement and use of force training. Training is performance-oriented and provides soldiers and leaders the training required to defend against a terrorist threat and mitigate the effects of an attack. Anti-terrorist awareness training must be conducted by an anti-terrorism officer and include introduction to terrorism, terrorist operations, communications, individual protection measures, terrorist surveillance techniques, improvised explosive device attacks, mission essential vulnerable areas, kidnapping and hostage survival, explanation of terrorist threat levels, security, movement. During the domestic phases of a deployment, movement may create gaps in the deploying unit's ability to coordinate individual plans, identify gaps that may exist, and mitigate the identified risk. IMCOM provides guidance to the installations on the development of a security and anti-terrorism plan and the implementation and execution of training. C movement. SDDC directs and coordinates the deployment of units through its ESPO by dispatching port call orders to the affected units. Port call orders provide an earliest and latest unit arrival date at the port complex to facilitate vessel loading and sailing to meet TIPFID requirements. These port call orders provide schedules for units to arrive at the port complex in time for the unit to process through the marshalling area and the staging area on a schedule that permits loading to meet vessel sailing schedules. Because the security activities that DoD may conduct outside its installations are limited, it must work closely with a broad range of federal, state, and local agencies to ensure that adequate security measures exist and are executed during deployments through strategic seaports. Security responsibilities for DoD deployments through United States commercial seaports are divided among several organizations, including the United States Coast Guard, SDDC, MSC, FORSCOM, ASCC, individual deploying units, and local law enforcement agencies. Port readiness committees at each strategic port provide a common coordination structure for DoD, the Coast Guard, and other federal, state, and local agencies at the port level. They are the principal interface between DoD and other officials at the ports during the movement of military equipment. However, port readiness committees are focused largely on preparing for potential military movements through a port and not on day-to-day security concerns at the port. The deploying unit may have to provide supercargoes to accompany cargo aboard ships. Supercargoes may be equipped to provide security against seaborne and airborne threats. Rail movement. The ITO, with the assistance of SDDC, is responsible for planning and executing rail movements. However, the transiting unit commander retains responsibility for planning security measures for rail movements. The deploying unit commander makes the final determination based on security requirements and coordinates with the ITO in CONUS or the MCT OCONUS and authorized railroad representatives on guard and escort matters. Guards and escorts are armed at the installation commander's discretion. When armed guards are used, all participating railroads must be notified. All armed guards must be familiar with the rules of engagement and trained in the use of force. Cargo guards or escorts maintain surveillance over the military equipment during the journey and notify railroad personnel of any problems. They must be thoroughly trained on anti-terrorism measures and provided with current terrorist threat information. Local installation anti-terrorism offices or host nation police departments can provide the latest threat assessment for planning. The rail cargo escorts help railroad personnel to protect and maintain security of Army equipment loaded aboard trains and protect Army interests. Host nation support may be used when appropriate. A copy of the trip itinerary is given to the cargo escort supervisor. It includes the rail routing by specific rail companies, interchange points, and stop-off points within a given rail line. The escorts are given portable radios to maintain communication with escort supervisors and other escorts. Escorts are instructed on locomotive and railroad safety. Additionally, escorts will be briefed on rules of engagement prior to the train leaving station. SDDC provides infrastructure information on surface transportation and ESPO terminal facilities and security for deploying units while within the ESPO. Air movement. The Army deploys personnel, supplies, and equipment by air through an APO that could be on a United States Air Force base, an Army installation, or a commercial airfield. Deploying unit commanders are responsible for defense and anti-terrorism planning for movements to APO and in the marshalling area. Army and United States Air Force commanders conduct joint coordination for mutual defense. The APO is organized into four separate areas: marshalling area, alert holding area, call forward area, and loading ramp area. Once the deploying unit moves to the alert holding area, the United States Air Force is responsible for security until the unit is released from the APOD. Highway movement. In those instances where the home station is less than 100 miles from the PO, the deploying unit may convoy their vehicles and equipment to the port. The unit submits the request for convoy clearance to the ITO, who forwards the request to the Defense Movement Coordinator in the state of origin. Refer to ATP 4-01.45 for convoy operations procedures. The moving unit normally provides security and must make provisions to maintain contact with the Installation Operations Center. For convoy operations greater than 100 miles but less than 300 miles from the PO, ASCCs and senior commanders may approve those convoy operations in CONUS and OCONUS for active component forces. The first general officer in the chain of command may approve convoy operations in the United States greater than 100 miles but less than 300 miles for Army Reserves and Army National Guard forces. Brigade commanders will conduct mission analysis of planned convoys to identify risks and to implement mitigation strategies. Brigade commanders will also ensure rehearsals are conducted prior to the execution of all convoy operations. This allows leaders and commanders to support the mission based upon met TCI considerations. For operational and contingency planning, Army planners will use the following. Convoys in the United States will travel no more than 300 miles, no multiple days. Convoys outside the United States will travel no more than 300 miles per day with no maximum distance constraint. The ITO orders commercial trucks for movement of equipment and supplies from home station to the PO with assistance from SDDC. A commercial security escort service may be contracted by SDDC to provide the needed security when Army personnel are not available or when circumstances make it necessary. Private security escort services must be planned and implemented in accordance with JFC and Army command policies. At a minimum, these personnel must be briefed about the rules for the use of force and provided suitable communications.